Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah, here we go, people.
Start the show.
Talking sports with a 12th man.
Yes, sir. You know the signature.
Oh, yeah. We coming to you live from it. Atlanta, Houston, and Portland tonight.
Rob was like, not sure where he was at, man. I love it, man. But again, we are officially in the, I'm in the A. I don't know where Rob's at. Rob be, going world tour over there. Little Tribe Called Quest here. But again, we are talking sports.
H-Town tonight.
And shout out again. You and H-Town, okay. And shout out to Curtis and Gary on the West Coast as always. And JQ will be joining us momentarily. To represent, as always. But again, yeah, another Wednesday. We're ready to get this party started. Talking sports with the 12th man on the month of December. It's upon us. Christmas, all the fun stuff, holidays. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah, whatever you want to celebrate. We are here for you as we get ready to kick off another amazing Talking Sports with the 12th man. And this year is officially flying by. But as mentioned, a couple folks will be joining us late. So, Rob, you get obviously the first crack at this to tell us how you feel and get this party started, if you will.
Man, feeling great. Ready to get this show started. Had a great Thanksgiving weekend. And now we're moving right on along.
Gotcha. And as always, Curtis and Gary will check in with you guys as well because, we got to get these numbers in. And we are ready to get you guys started with, again, the first topic as well. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Will you guys join in as well? Really quickly, let's throw these numbers in. As always, the number to call into the show, as they always do, is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And
lastly,
Facebook.com/TalkingSports, 12th Man or 12th Man Sports. You will find us as well. And again, shout out to my man, Tad. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to get Tad to call in. We are celebrating for this Falcons tailgate amazing thing at 10:30 in the morning. Jesse Tuggle will be there. I'm excited to be part of that too, man. So I'll show some pictures for that, guys, as always. So Curtis and Gary, how you guys feel, man? You guys have a good Thanksgiving?
Oh, man, I had a great Thanksgiving, ate a lot, had my granddaughters over, and we kind of kept it low-key this year. My daughter and son-in-law had to work, so it was just mom and dad, Arnetta and I, and three out of the four granddaughters, and life is good. Life is good.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I got family in Tacoma, Washington, and they're always glad to see me. They have some challenges. They got a lot of them.
That's family.
That's family dynamics. But it was good to be there for me.
Nice. That's good to hear, man. We're glad you had fun. I hope you guys had a chance to eat and celebrate, which is what it's all about. So, I'm glad that you guys, again, I know that was a tough day for the Cowboys and for the Falcons. But, again, we'll definitely jump into that. We do have to talk about a couple of things, if you will. So right out the gate, and I guess, Rob, this is interesting how Eli Manning is going to affect the Giants here, Eagles matchup here. So I guess talk about that. And then, Curtis, Gary, you guys don't have to talk about that if you don't want to. I know it's in your division too, but and we'll talk about some predictions as well too. But you guys can comment on that. But we'll let Rob lead us off, and we'll go from there too. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, first off, getting back to Thanksgiving, man, I tell you what, that okra gumbo was amazing. Hey, sorry, you know, if y'all didn't have any, but man, the okra gumbo on Thanksgiving Day, ooh wee.
That sounds damn good.
Yeah, I don't mean to rub it in. But anyway, I'm sorry. We're supposed to be talking sports, right?
Yeah, bro. Come on. Stay focused.
Some people think eating is a sport. That hot dog contest, that might be a sport.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
True.
It's definitely an art. But getting to the football game, obviously, you know, it's kind of surprising the Giants going with Eli Manning this weekend against the Eagles. Eagles obviously has been a big disappointment this year, 5-7. And when you look at their roster, to me, they've underachieved tremendously. Obviously, they've had a lot of issues in their secondary, but their secondary is pretty healthy right now. Still gave up 37 points to the Dolphins. Devontae Parker just ate that secondary alive. He and Fitzmagic. But I suspect the Eagles to come out and win this game on Monday night. They're at home. Eli Manning. And, they have been a huge disappointment this year. If you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, which I know Gary and Curtis are not, they have been a huge disappointment this year. But I don't think Eli Manning will be able to bring any kind of magic to pull a Giants to victory over the Eagles. I think the Eagles find a way to pull this one out. And I think they put up about 34 points. I'm going to go 34-17 Eagles by 17 points over the Giants. I just think they won't be able to get it done with Eli Manning back there.
Well, you know, when you draft a quarterback, and then, you know, you bring Eli back in. And Eli is, in his day, was a good Pro Bowl, solid, championship-winning quarterback. And he had his ups and downs in his career, but he definitely had some big ups. And what I'm hoping for is this is one of those weeks that he brings back the magic. I don't think it's going to be. That's what I'm hoping for. And you never know in these division games like this what's going to happen. These are the ones that are so hard to predict, right? Remember
Atlanta.
Remember the Atlanta game, Rob?
Division game.
Those are the games that are difficult. It can go either way. It could be a blowout or it could be just a nail biter. And I'm thinking it's probably going to be a nail biter.
I'm going with, you look at that game, and what I'm looking for, what I'm hearing, is Eli Manning a shot fighter? Is his best days behind him? And,
yes.
You know, I'm a football fan first.
Yes.
So, on my bets against the Patriots, there's two bottles that Eli Manning got for me in my Super Bowl bets. Against that girl that I'm always going to be grateful for. Not to mention, Eli took away the perfect season.
One of those Cowboys fans.
The Patriots got a lot of things. They do not have a perfect season. I'm looking forward to see if he's still got something left or if he's really a shot fighter. And the story I get is that the young boy is hurt. So that's why Eli got the starting job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Well, like you said, again, you nailed it right on the head whenever you talked about the key things because – again, it's a division game, so you have no clue what's going to happen. Eli's been sitting back, kind of like seeing how everything's played out. He may be a little rejuvenated against. That's why you don't know. And then I agree with Robert 100%. You talk about the Eagles, very disappointing season for them. You realize that Doug Peterson's not making any more predictions right now, so he's kind of playing low. But still, the crazy part is that it's still anybody's division, right? That's the crazy part, man. So we'll talk about that. And we'll go right into the NFL predictions here whenever you got the Cowboys at the Bears. And, you know, Cowboys obviously coming from that tough loss versus the Bills. And I was actually impressed with Josh Allen. I didn't really watch a lot of him, so I was impressed with that too. But if you were the Cowboys, Curtis and Gary, it's crazy because Dak had, you know, one of his best games against statistically, but then again, you know, just weren't able to pull it out, man. So, again, I guess we can move forward to your thoughts about that, and we can talk about this particular matchup versus the Bears. So go ahead, guys, and it's on you for this next matchup.
Well, it's, you know, it is disappointing when you're watching your team, you're having your dinner, you're enjoying the holiday, and then you got these Bills, man. They played a game. They wanted it more. They're, you know, for whatever reason, the Cowboys can't beat a team with a winning record. The only thing I can say about this particular weekend is thank God that the Chicago Bears are 6-6. Because then they don't have to beat a team with a winning record this week. They can win this week.
That is
funny. Oh, man.
Well, I even go
I'm a
little deeper. If this what's his name? Trubisky, the quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky.
Trubisky, if he beats the Cowboys, it's done season. But where the Cowboys are at, you know, what they should be thinking about it. One game at a time, they're in a playoff. Every game they play, every game they're going to play from here on out is a playoff game.
Yeah.
Are you boys going to be in the playoff or are you not? On paper, you guys look great on paper. Why aren't we great? Jerry dusted out some money. Why aren't y'all great? Why aren't you guys got any urgency to you guys' game plan? And on paper, that defense looks great. And the next thing you know, 35 points are put on that defense. You know, there's paper, and then there's eyeball. And the eyeball tells me if these guys don't wake up, they're going to have a very lost season. The Cowboys are, from every game out, are in a must-win situation.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be a good game, but Dak cannot be outformed by Russell Trubisky. He just cannot be. Matter of fact, I want this defense from the Cowboys to put him back on the bench. I want this defense for the Cowboys to make him look like he's lost his starting job. So I'm picking the Cowboys. It's already happened to them. And the Cowboys, if they play the right defense, it could happen again. They put him right back on the bench. And that's what they need to do.
Hmm. Look at that.
I'll tell you what.
Was JQ jumping too. Go ahead, Rob.
I tell you what. And I like the Bears in this game. And I think the Bears, hey, you know, I know on Thanksgiving Day, all three road teams run on Thanksgiving Day. You know, normally, you know, normally I always say that, you know, it's tough for the win on the road on a Thursday night game, and normally it is. But, you know, all three road teams did win on Thanksgiving Day. I think it goes back to the home team on this coming Thursday night. And I know both of these teams have had a full week, because both played on Thanksgiving Day. But if you look at the last two games, Mitch Trubisky actually has played pretty good. And, I think this is going to carry over a little bit to this game on Thursday night here. And I think it's going to be a really close football game. I'm going to go Bears 24-21, and the Bears pull this one out. And the Eagles and the Cowboys, I don't think neither one of these teams want to win the division. they don't. And Carson Wentz probably having his worst season as a, you know, he's only been in the league 3 years, but he has regressed every year since he's been in the league. So that's, you know, from the Eagles standpoint, you got to be really concerned about that. But neither one of these teams look like they want to win a division right now. And like I said, I like the Bears at home. That's going to be a tough place to play. I'm sure it's going to be cold. And I just can't see Dallas going in there and beating those people on Thursday night.
Come on, man. Listen, they let that boy Ball, Hall, whatever his name is, from Purdue come out there and be competent as a third-string quarterback against the Bears on Thanksgiving. If Dak Prescott ain't looking at that film and licking his chops and saying, hey, if Galladay and Marvin Jones can do it, then hot damn it, so can Cooper and Gallup and everybody else. I mean, Dak, if you want that money, you got to go ahead and get this game. But there's something to be said for having to fight for your playoff life and being in playoff mode for the last 4 weeks of the season. So when you hit playoff mode, if you make it, it's not something that you're not used to already. And that's why you sometimes see a six seed that just makes it in the wild card go on a run because they've been in playoff mode for the past 4 weeks before the playoff season started. That's what the Cowboys are. You guys are 100% correct. But if you Dak, you got to be like, man, if that dude can do that, then what can I do with Cooper and Gallup and Randall Cobb? You know, I mean, and Zeke, I just – if not now, when? I'm going to go with Eagles can lose to the Dolphins.
Like
they can lose.
He talking about they don't have to have a sense of urgency in that division.
You got to have a sense
Yes, they do.
Dallas does not have to have a sense of urgency in that division.
Yeah, yes, they do.
They
yes,
might
they
win
they
it
do.
At 7-9.
Now,
Rob got problems. Hey,
Dak
is
trying to get paid.
Like
he's also for
Dak
to try to get paid.
But he had a good game.
He's trying to get paid.
It's going to be 35 degrees tomorrow night in Chicago, right off of Lake Michigan.
Sure. Yeah, but that well, playing that same 35
degrees.
35 degrees
for both teams, though.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
But the only
so,
thing is, Chicago is some practice in it every day.
Wow. That's right. True, but like I said,
so
not now. We're
going to be here all week.
I love it.
Cowboys probably been up there all week.
No, they don't do that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they skinny. No, they were skinny dipping. They were skinny dipping today.
Go ahead, Gary.
Go ahead, Gary. That's what's up. Hey,
I do understand where Rob's coming from. You know, when you got a team, you know, like the New Orleans, that they're, you know, they're good. They're a great team. They're a great one championship team. I think that's fine. You know, so of course there's going to be some hatred to a storied franchise like the Cowboys. I understand. We got shoulders. We can.
I'm
we
being
can take
objective.
This.
It has nothing to do with hate.
Come on, Rob.
It has nothing to do with
like
hate.
Like I said, I'm just giving
I'm,
you. I'm just kidding.
I'm being,
well, like I said,
I know you are. It has nothing to do with hate.
As a Cowboy fan, I'm at show me. I'm at show me.
And we said that last week.
And
yeah?
I really think one of the things they haven't been doing is time for that pass rush to dominate. It's time for that pass rush to get a quarterback running for his life. And it needs to be tomorrow. It needs to be tomorrow. Like I said, they need to make to put that boy back on the bench. That's how that defense needs to play.
So Curtis and Gary, can the Cowboys win a championship with Jason Garrett, though?
Well,
no.
If they don't win it this year, which is no, okay, because he's probably not going to last. But he's not going to last. You know, he's done. Unless for some reason they go on some miracle run, you know, like
the light comes on.
Well, you know, like when what was it? It was New York. Remember when New York went? They were 6-6, and they went on that run, and they went on it.
Yeah.
You know, to be New England.
Too.
So
it,
Right. Unless they do that, which I don't see that happening. No.
It's fire.
You know, he's got a decade, and no.
And I don't totally blame Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett's not the one completing passes. Jason Garrett's not the guy that's trying to get to the quarterback with just the front four. Jason Garrett is not the guy getting burnt by ex-Cowboys in the backfield. That's not Jason Garrett. you know, they got that dynamic. And I heard Marcelo Wiley on Cowher's show this morning saying, well, this ain't nothing different when Bill Parcells was there. The team was divided.
Wow.
Are you a Bill Parcells guy or are you a Jerry Jones guy? So he thinks it's the same kind of thing going on in Dallas. Are you a Jerry Jones guy or are you a Jason Garrett guy? But Dallas has been dealing with that kind of stuff, you know, ever since Jerry's got the team. I'm just, you know, what I'm, you know, just confused about. Now, Jerry's had successes with college coaches. When he first got the Cowboys and he first fired the good coaches and got Landry and got a college coach and got another college coach to win those Super Bowls and haven't done it since. So I think this guy's got something in his head thinking he gets rid of Jason Garrett and get him a college coach, that might get him a Super Bowl. And I think that's delusional.
Well, and the college coach that, if you're talking about that, Curtis, the college coach that has come to mind is Peterson, who just stepped down from the position with the Huskies. He's been tied to the Cowboys as well.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Lincoln Riley, too. He's another name to watch for the Cowboys, too.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then maybe even Ron Rivera gets his name in that hat, too. You know, who knows? He's a guy that had some success in the National Football League.
Yeah. You know, I kind of think, and I guess the rule is you can't deal with him until after the season. But I think he could fit with Jerry Jones. For some reason, I think he's got a mentality and a way about him that he can be the no-nonsense coach that the Dallas Cowboys need. And he can also let Jerry Jones feel like, yeah, Jerry, you're in control of everything, Jerry. Make him feel like it is, but still, you know, not really, Jerry. We need you out of the way.
Go ahead, JQ.
I've got nothing. That's their team. They know it better than I do. I mean, I don't think Jason Garrett is that – I mean, Jason Garrett is not that guy. I think everybody realizes he's not that guy. You're going to gamble. Like, I like what Rob said. Ron Rivera throws his name in the hat in the ring, but I don't know how well him and Jerry mesh. I think Jerry still wants to be the alpha dog. So I agree. I think he might go get him a college coach where he can still feel like he has a little bit more, you know, to say that he should have as an owner. We should just go ahead and let the guys that know more football than he does be in control of it. But, you know, he pays the seat. You know, it's his team. He writes the check. We'll see how it plays out. But I still think they have a shot. They have enough talent, but I agree with you. They got to find ways to be creative and get to the quarterback and not say, okay, DeMarcus Lawrence and those guys can just do it on their own when rushing forward. That's just not working right now. So they got to go back to the drawing board. So Rob Marinelli has got to figure some things out.
Or just change it up whenever something's not working. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, Jason Garrett just doesn't seem like he has the passion there. I mean, it just doesn't seem there's any excitement. I mean, I guess you can make the same case about a Bill Belichick, not having a lot of excitement. It just doesn't seem like he's very engaged. At least from an observation standpoint. And I think they're going to have to get somebody in there that's going to bring some energy into that organization. And he definitely does not seem like he has it from a leadership perspective. And so, obviously looking at it from an outsider, he definitely does not seem like the guy that can lead them to a championship. And thought about it. And a lot of the personnel pieces are there for the Cowboys. I mean, you got a running back, you got an offensive line, and I mean, they have a lot of pieces. They got Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, so they got really two good wide receivers there. Dak Prescott, solid quarterback. So a lot of the pieces are in place for them, in my opinion, to be successful. And so, I mean, when that's the case, then you really have to look at a new football coach.
Jason Garrett is Eli Manning, the coaches. He's the deer headlights look. The Eli Manning face. He has it. And you know, you talk about Parcells, but Parcells will cuss you out and get fired up. Jason Garrett is just like, yeah, okay, we get him next time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's Eli.
Well, Rob, what you were talking about, you were talking about Belichick. This is what I saw. Belichick, shit was going on with his team. He went and he's kneeling down on the sideline and he's chewing guys out. He's motivating them. He's getting them to, you know, to do what he wants them to do, to man their own positions, do what we talked about in practice, whatever he's telling them. I've never once seen Jason Garrett leave that front sideline to go and address a teams like that, any group of teams like that. And I'm watching that pretty much every damn Cowboy game, and that's the one thing that's frustrated the hell out of me is, where's your motivation? If it's not in front of the camera and, you know, yeah, you can say a little cool little locker room speech with the win, but, you know, how do you motivate those troops coming out? You know, you're down by 10 points. How do you motivate those guys to come in and, you know, want to breathe fire for you in the second half? Like these great coaches, like the Bill Belichicks of this world. And you know, and no, he doesn't have the referees in the back pocket, but like Belichick does. But nevertheless, you've got to be able to motivate your, you know, you got to be able to motivate your guys, and I think that that's where he's lacking.
On a side note,
all he does is stand on the sideline.
On a side note, did you guys see? Well, I think Belichick needed to coach his team because Tom Brady. We saw Tom Brady damn near lose his mind trying to coach all his team. So Belichick better been over there putting the word in too, because Tom Brady was losing his mind. But did you guys see? And I was talking to Gary at this time. At the end of that game, Belichick did not want to shake Bill O'Brien's hand. Belichick really dissed Bill O'Brien at the end of that game.
Yeah, he tried to avoid him.
Did you guys see that?
Bill O'Brien used to be on his staff.
Yeah.
That's really weird. If that's I didn't see that, but Bill O'Brien used to be on his staff in New England. So that would be.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had, you know, kind of like a bad departure. But he used to be on his staff in New England. But getting back to Jason Garrett, all he does is stand on the sideline and clap his hands.
Yeah, that's
and that's, not, that that's not motivation enough. But he's clapping his hands even if they've just, you know, lost a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
They lose a fumble, he'll clap his hands. You know, if they have score a touchdown, the players are probably like I am. As a spectator, I don't know what the hell he's clapping his hands for. Is he happy for the
other
team?
He doesn't clap them regardless. Good or bad, he claps the
hands. Well, I've been saying this for years. I think Jason Garrett is the yes, Jerry man. Yes, Jerry. You're right, Jerry. Yes, Jerry. You're right, Jerry.
Wow.
Yes, Jerry. You're right, Jerry.
It's kind of like Aaron Brooks being the quarterback for the Saints.
But the bad part for Cowboys fans is Jerry apparently needs a guy like that to say, yes, Jerry, you're right, Jerry, all the time. Instead of a guy saying, look, Jerry, get out of my locker room. And I hear that Jerry's the only guy doing press conferences in the locker room after a Cowboy game. And the first thing he does, he's the only owner in the NFL that does press conferences the Monday after the game. The only one.
Well, Chris, what would he be busy down in Florida at the massage parlor?
Man, that's what Jerry should be.
Wow. All right, I got you. It's all good.
Kind of like Aaron Brooks needs a quarterback for the Saints. He would throw an INT, but always walk off the field smiling. We're like, damn, what you smiling for, dude?
Because he figured out what
I would tell, Jerry,
you.
The only time we need you, Jerry, is when you pick up the Super Bowl trophy. Other than that, stay off the field.
Oh, right, man. That's enough Cowboy talk. But I will say, last thing I will say is that, you know, on my little two cents, is that anytime that, as JQ said, Jerry is the alpha male, alpha dog. So, again, the reason why he fired Jimmy Johnson is Jimmy Johnson was getting too much credit, and he hated that. So, again, if he finally relinquishes his control, which I doubt he'll ever do, he'll get that Super Bowl, man. But again, it's all about that ego. So again, no offense, guys. I just don't think it's gonna happen, man. Let's see. He can get anyone that he can kind of be a yes man or anyone control, but he'll never get to that stage until he literally relinquishes that ego. So that's just me. Let's talk about the next game, if you will. Man, we got about 29 minutes here, and the Panthers at the Falcons. JQ, I did tell you before, a good buddy of mine, he actually won this national tailgate contest, so I'll be there tailgating a little early in the morning. I'm going to try to catch a little bit of the game, too. That's going to be fun as well. So if you see us celebrating on that, man, it's fun times. But just from my perspective,
okay.
I have no clue what team is going to show up for this game. I don't know which Falcon team is going to show up. The Panthers, they could be really motivated since they fired Ron Rivera. You know, they may have something to prove. I mean, I don't know if Falcons are going to play like they play versus Tampa Bay or they can play versus – I have no clue who's going to show up, honestly. So it would not surprise me if Panthers win. It would not surprise the Falcons. I really have no clue, man. I don't know what's going to happen, man. So that's me. So whatever. You can take that next one, JQ, and get this party started as always, man. So there you go.
That don't sound like a prediction.
I really don't know
who is going to show up. His name is Christian McCaffrey, and he's going to be the difference. That dude has just been a Swiss Army knife all year long for Carolina, and he was really hot when Ron Rivera got fired. So I think he's going to be the engine like he's been all year. I don't think they blow the Falcons out, but I think Christian McCaffrey just does just enough with DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel to beat the Falcons. The Falcons, I don't understand, like – they don't play well necessarily at home, and then they go and win in Carolina, win in New Orleans. Like, they're Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I mean, I think it'll get better if Julio plays and Julio is healthy, but that is just so beat up. And the Falcons' running game is trash. They can't keep Christian McCaffrey on the sideline. I think that's the difference.
Well, I'm going to tell you why they've been playing better on the road than they are at home. That damn lower bowl is empty. How can they get
excited to play in that dome? Hey, I'm just telling you.
They go on the road, they go see some packed stadiums, and they get excited. Damn, these people showing up to play, showing up in the Philadelphia stadium. They get excited to play. They can't get excited to play, man. The whole damn lower bowl is empty. And
it was full when I was there. You stopped.
That's like it was not full. I'm saying, JQ, a lot. Okay, who tells?
It was full, but when I threw that interception to the defensive lineman, everybody left. I mean, it was just me and, like, the cheerleaders and Arthur Blank just hanging out watching the rest of the game. Like, it was really bad after that interception. But before then, it was a really good atmosphere. But I tell you what, the Falcons do have a problem. And me and my wife were talking about when we were there. Like, when you were playing, like, the Get Loud prompts, it was like, yay, you go to Arrowhead, you go to the Superdome, you go to Seattle. Like, it gets crazy loud where you cannot even hear yourself think. That didn't happen one time during that Falcons Saints game, even early on when they were still in it. That's the Falcons' problem. They got too many transplants and too many people that are apathetic about be seen and walk around and pose at the stadium, and they don't get into it like other people do. It's sad. It's something,
and that's their number one rival. I mean, even the, you know, you get up, you know, your fans are excited against your rivals. Come on, I mean, I understand they're not having the best of seasons, but you know, you would think. When your rival's in town, you're going to be a little bit more amped up. And but that, with that being said, I think Atlanta wins the game this Sunday. I think Atlanta wins this Sunday. And the reason why I do, I mean, I just think it's going to be hard for Carolina, you know, with a coaching change this week, too. And plus, you know, Atlanta just spanked that ass a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, in Charlotte.
Versus New Orleans, that didn't happen, though.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, obviously that was a wake up call for the Saints, and the Saints didn't come in there with a coaching change like Carolina's coming in there with too, and I think that's going to be the difference in this ball game. I just can't see Carolina getting prepared. I mean, you know, I can't see them being real prepared to play on the road, and I think Atlanta wins a really close football game this week. And I'm gonna go 21-18 Atlanta at home.
Christian McCaffrey to the left, Christian McCaffrey to the right, Christian McCaffrey up the middle, Christian McCaffrey.
I thought that was
gonna
happen
pass.
The first game.
it's that's yeah. really, he was hot. he posted on Twitter with him and the picture of him and Coach Ron Rivera. That dude is coming on a mission. He's not real happy about it. And I know what you're saying, but it can go one of two ways. You can get a team that gets totally disfocused and they come in disinterested and they get their butt whooped, or they come in really energized and say, you know what, we're going to win this one for Ron. And I feel like Carolina's going to do that. I mean, I just do. They are not happy as a team if that happened. Yeah, well, they're going to go one for him on Sunday. I'll be there.
I got you. I'll be there too, bro. We'll holler, bro.
Okay.
I'll let your boy.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's
no, they're going to be. I'm going with Atlanta in this one and a close one, too. I'm with you.
And,
I think there's too much, you know, you lose a coach. You got every coordinator looking over their shoulder. Who's next? What's going to happen? You know, none of them are focused. You know.
Yeah, that's the problem.
No,
he was well liked. Ron Rivera was well liked, and you know that adjustment of what your owner now got on his mind. You know, that focus I don't think is going to be there. And Atlanta's got a lot to play for. They need some respect, and they haven't, you know, they haven't got it. So they need to earn it.
Hey, Gary, the other piece that you're missing, though, is those guys know exactly what's going to happen. They're fired, too, at the end of this year. So right now they're auditioning for other jobs for next year. So I disagree with that point of they don't know what's going to happen. Oh, they know what's going to happen. Come week 17, when the clock goes to triple zeros, you go ahead and clean out your office, you get your personal belongings together, and get out of Dodge because you are fired as well. So those guys,
I understand your point. And just like you said, they're auditioning, and they don't know what's going to happen. I totally agree with you, and that's why I think that, unfortunately, it's going to be a sad day for Carolina. You know, they're going to
– I like
you. They lost
like
the coach last
like
week, and, you know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's not
going to
be a blowout either way.
Here.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I got you. No, I'm trying to power through because I'm gonna get your comments on your boy Jim Harbaugh, and you know we'll try to get through all these and vanity shoutouts too.
Love it.
Jake, so stay tuned.
Love it.
I know you do. Let's talk about really quickly about Ravens at the Bills. Great game by the Ravens. That crazy game. I don't know if you heard the comment that your boy got said about Lamar Jackson. Tim Ryan.
Yeah.
Getting messed up, man. That was terrible. So I hope that more repercussions come. But anyway. What a great performance.
And he only got suspended one game.
That's pretty messed up, too, honestly. But this next game, this is going to be a really good game. And me and JQ were kind of talking about this, where JQ was letting me know, because I was, like, really impressed with Josh Allen for the Thanksgiving. I didn't realize that Josh leads his team in rushing. And I was like, man, I was really impressed with him. And not to bring more salt to that wound for Curtis and Gary, but just really good game by the Bills, and this is going to be a surprise. This is a pretty good game as well, too. So what say you on these predictions? Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, well, he leads the team in rushing touchdowns. I mean, when you still got, 45-year-old Frank Gore, I know that might not be seen as well. But Devin Singletary is actually a good
third
back.
Third in the league
and
rushing, something like that. He's doing the same.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. But now you got poor man's Lamar Jackson versus the real Lamar Jackson. And I just can't pick against Lamar Jackson and those Ravens right now. They are playing a better brand of defense. They're controlling the clock. He's making spectacular plays when he needs to make them. Games. And they have found the formula. We talked about them in their organization. They have an identity. And we talked with Dallas, we talked about this. They're trying to find it. But Baltimore has an identity. And I just can't, so I have to see it first. And I have to see it maybe for a couple of games before I say, okay, Baltimore has fallen back to earth. I'm going with Baltimore, but like 10. They're going to find a way to win. Him and Ingram are killing it in the backfield, rushing the ball. And he has that ability to hit Hollywood Brown when needed. And again, Buffalo's defense is actually pretty good, and people are sleeping on them because they're in New England's division. And everybody just thinks New England, the sun rises and sets with them. But Buffalo has a good team. I think it's a close game, but I think Baltimore just finds a way to win the game.
I think Buffalo wins this game at home. I think Buffalo.
Oh, here you go.
Buffalo is going to win this game 24-21. Defensive battle, physical game. Buffalo at home, and that crowd is going to be rocking. I think they find a way to beat Baltimore. I think in the long run, Baltimore is still the better football team, but I think this is where they get a little hiccup here, Baltimore, and Buffalo wins. in a competitive physical football game this Sunday, 24-21, Buffalo.
That'd be the biggest win in Buffalo history in since like Jim
in a
Kelly.
Long time. Since Jim Kelly did.
This is going to be – that was a fantastic game. We saw that 49. That was real football. And that's the kind of football I like. Smash mouth. The weather is terrible. What kind of professional are you? Are you a professional football player? This is professional football weather. Beat somebody up. Want it more. And this game could set up like that. But, and I hope the Bills don't do this. I hope they focus. But I kind of know they're not. The next game is the biggest game for the Bills. The Bills think they can beat New England. And I would hope they can beat New England. That's their next game beyond this
game.
They
better not look ahead. They better not look ahead.
I'm about to say, they're looking ahead. They're going to get their ass kicked this Sunday.
Yeah, I know. They cannot look ahead.
If you look ahead, that's a problem. Go ahead.
I know that. But
and that's the Bills organization.
It's a rock and a hard place. And where I'm going with this is Baltimore believes they're going to the Super Bowl. They believe they're a Super Bowl team.
I believe they are too. And
beating the Bills is one of the ways you prove that. Just like they proved that up in Seattle. So I'm taking the Ravens, and they fight. They're fighters. They come in the stadiums and they want to fight you. Are you a better fighter than they are? I don't think so. They're gonna win.
Now I'm going with the Ravens as well. I think that the Ravens are, they're that team with where you can control the clock. You can hit those big passes. And you've got a solid defense, and I think that the Bills are going to be that team that's, hey, they went into Dallas and they embarrassed Dallas on Thanksgiving. Look at us. Well, this next week it's going to be look at them, because I think it's going to be a 35-17 game for Buffalo. I think Buffalo's going to lose 35-17 to the Ravens.
They're going to whip that tail. I agree too. I hope and pray that the Baltimore Ravens make the Super Bowl. They win the Super Bowl. I hope that they change the perceptions of. I mean, that this is how the kind of new NFL, man. That's what I'm hoping for, man. So again, that's my little alternative agenda. But I just see that trend going up with Lamar Jackson and just how he's playing. And, again, you talk about what a great game last week, and just keep it going, man. So I'm excited about that squad, man. And, I think they're going to just open up a can on Buffalo. Buffalo's they're gonna hang there, from the first start, and then they're gonna start pulling away. That's kind of what I think is gonna happen too. So I'm with you, Gary, 100%. Here we go.
Another one of them games. I'm the only one to pick the right one.
Oh, here you go.
We'll see what happens. The next game,
oh gosh!
Speaking of, here we go.
He's gonna have to get that part of Louisiana.
I know he's feeling himself. He's feeling pretty confident. He's looking at LSU this weekend. He's feeling pretty confident, Gary. That's what's happening right now. Hey, so now let's talk about the next game here: the 49ers at the Saints. Oh my Lord! I hope the 49ers can put it on them. Whoa! What's up? We see you.
Yeah.
What's up, you, JQ?
Hey, you got no ties to San Francisco. Why would you be rooting for them?
I do have ties to San Francisco.
Because they're playing the Saints?
I got family on the West Coast.
Well, have you ever lived there?
What did you say?
You ever lived there?
I've lived in California. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. So back up off me. Smell the coffee. Keep it going, JK. What you got for me? Go ahead.
What part of California?
Wow.
All parts of California. Fresno to like Bakersville. Come on. Go ahead, JK. Keep it going.
Yeah, I'm not gonna pick against the Saints in the Super Bowl. Like I don't trust Jimmy G. I still don't. I know what's happened.
I don't trust Jimmy G.
Yeah. I don't trust him in the Super Bowl as well. The defense is really good. Don't get me wrong. But Drew Brees versus Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm going with Drew Brees. Saints.
Yeah, I mean, I have the same. If you look at the last few weeks, you're starting to see Jimmy G is really coming down to earth here. And I know they play some really good football teams, the Seahawks, the Ravens, just to name a few. But he's definitely been coming down to earth quite a bit. And teams have been catching up with that 49ers offense. And obviously the 49ers defensive front is one of the best in the business, if not the best in the business. So, I mean, there is a slight concern there from the Saints' perspective because, you know, left guard Andres Pete, he's definitely out. But Nick Easton has came in the last few weeks and played extremely well in his spot. And then, he has. I'm just speaking the truth. He has. Because when Andres Pete got hurt in that first Atlanta game, and the Saints put Will Clapp in that, and the Falcons were just running over him every single play. But thankfully, Nick Easton came to the rescue at left guard because we were going to be in trouble if Will Clapp had to play that position. And but Nick Easton has come in. Oh, man, the Falcons were kicking his ass every play. It was in Drew Brees' grill every play. The Falcons only had 7 sacks before that game, and they had 6 against Drew Brees, and they were running over Will Clapp every single play. But, yeah, Nick Easton has come in, and he solidified the left guard position with Andres Pete being out. But, you know, the concern is Teron Armstead, the left tackle. He didn't play this past week against the Falcons. But, thankfully, the Saints went to a quick passing game, got rid of the football quickly. So, I mean, that's a slight concern, you know, whether or not Armstead is going to be able to go this coming Sunday or not against the 49ers. If not, you know, look to the Saints to go to another quick passing game like they did this past Thursday night and get rid of the football quickly will have to be the game plan. But I think the Saints win a real close football game over the 49ers this week. I'm going to go 23-17 Saints at home in a real close football game.
That's a surprise. Go ahead,
Curtis.
Gary, what you got?
Well, I would definitely agree with Rob. I think that the Saints, you know, their coaching, I think, is, you know, Peyton's one of those guys that, you know, he knows how to game plan. He knows his weaknesses. He's always going, you know, and somehow they're going to expose Kenny G. I remember Garoppolo was what it's spelled with a capital G, but I think now it's a lowercase G because I think everybody.
Not Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, it's good, you know, it's Jimmy Good now, you know, because he's, I think that's the weak link, you know, right there. And I think that's going to be the difference is there's going to be a turnover. I mean, if you look at the last, you know, the last few games, there have been passes that he's thrown that should have been picked off for, you know, big gains going the other way that were dropped. And I think all it's going to take is one of those DBs to have a little, you know, ability to catch that pass, and that's going to be the difference in the game. And I think it's going to be something like a 21-17 as well, Rob.
Yeah, I don't – New Orleans is another team that thinks they're going to the Super Bowl. And San Francisco was the head of that division.
And we are
now,
going to the Super Bowl.
And now
tickets already.
Oh yeah,
Hold back on your Super Bowl tickets.
I got my tickets because I know they're gonna be there.
Hold back on your Super Bowl tickets in Miami.
They're gonna be in the stands.
But,
Saints fans gonna be in the stands.
I mean,
the Saints team gonna be on the field.
The Saints gonna be in the hotels wishing that they can make it. Go ahead.
Well, if Jason Garrett gets the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, I don't see how New Orleans is going to be there.
Oh, wow.
Curtis kept a straight face on that, too. Yeah. Oh, joke of the week.
I don't see it. But,
hey, you say you're from the Show Me State, Missouri. We're going to show you.
Yeah. Like I said, Cowboys. Cowboys got to show it. But, yeah, in the Super Bowl, a little hangover from being the team that thought they were going to win that division to being the team that may not win that division and may not be the wild card.
Listen, the 49ers are going to go to playoffs now.
The thing
well,
about like
I mean,
this though, Saints, if you
well,
the
I mean, LA
Saints,
is
they
one
match
game.
Up.
Well, no, but LA is one game behind San Francisco.
No,
and
LA's three games behind.
They're not there yet.
And
yeah,
there's only four games left.
The
49ers are going to be in the playoffs, one way or the other.
Yeah, 49.
Okay. Well, losing these games is not going to help.
Yeah, the
so
thing about this
so
game, though, is you got Marshawn Lattimore coming. Marshawn Lattimore came back and was healthy. And, of course, Atlanta didn't have Julio. But if you talk about it schematically against New Orleans and 49ers, if you can put Marshawn Lattimore on Emmanuel Sanders and double-team Deebo Samuel and the way that the Saints have been stopping the run, and then you put the shoulders on Jimmy G to consistently hit George Kittle to make big plays and win that game, I don't know if you can make them one-dimensional and then say that he's going to be able to do that. And I think that's the way the defensive game plan plays out for New Orleans. Having Lattimore back over on that other side to where he can lock down one side of the field is a huge get for the Saints. He showed it against the Falcons, and I think he's going to show it again against the 49ers.
All right. Keep it
yeah.
up. All
he's
right.
a difference maker. The Lattimore is definitely a difference maker for the Saints. That defense is definitely he's the few games that he was out. You know, obviously we were still able to beat Carolina, but we gave up 31 points in that game. And but, you know, he is definitely a difference maker when he's on the field for the Saints. You know, they're able to do a lot of different things from a coverage standpoint, and they even play the run better when he's in the game too. I mean, they're just able to do a lot of things schematically when he's out there in the field. He and Gilmore from the Patriots, in my opinion, have been the best two corners in the league this year.
Don't forget about Tre'Davious White in Buffalo.
Oh yeah. I can't forget about LSU. Yeah, Tre'Davious White's been phenomenal too.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
All right, Rob. Just
go ahead.
Shout out real quick.
All right, fantasy shout-outs for the week. Obviously, we're moving into playoff week in most of the league. I think every league except one of our leagues, we're going into the playoffs this coming week in fantasy football. And the fantasy shout-outs are league number one, Andre's team, Straight Cash Homie, with the Woo! Biggest win of the week, 131.94 to Shock the System 95. Monsters of the Midway, that's Paul from Atlanta. He's in first place with a 10-3 record. League number two, Andre's team again had the biggest week. Playoffs, with a 149.92 to 102.60 win over EP Diablos. Kevin from New Orleans, his team, Kid Kevin, 23, is 10-3 and in first place in league number two. League number three, Al's Coleholics. That's Al from New Orleans. His team had the biggest win of the week, 120.08 to Irvin's team, 38.80. And Larry from Houston, his team is in first place, Saints Pelicans, 23 at 11-2. League number four, Marcy, Andre's wife, had the biggest win of the week. Baby got backfield, 128.46. The Birds flew south, 69.80. And Andre's team's in first place with a 9-4 record. And fantasy basketball shout-outs. Andre's team again, biggest win of the week, 8-1, triple-double over Blue Devil All-Stars, 8-1. And Heart High Fives, that's Matthew from Indianapolis. His team also had an 8-1 victory over I'm So Hardened. And Ronald from New Orleans, his team is in first place. Saints Pelicans, 23, 39,
damn
and
it.
15. And those are your fantasy shout-outs of the week.
When you see Saints Pelicans 23, tell him I am tired of him. I am tired of him. Every time I play him, my team decides just not to play that week, and I don't appreciate it. We're going to be back. He took first place back from me in basketball. It's all good. He whooped my ass, to be honest, this week. But it's all good. Long season. And I see you in the league number one, Andre, this week. I see you. Me and you.
Just
me and you this week.
Don't
me and you this week.
That's a playoff matchup?
Yeah, me and him. League number one.
Yep.
That's going to be interesting on the show next week.
I know, man. I got you, bro. We'll have some fun, man. Come on, Lamar. Hey, all right, we got about 5 minutes.
Oh, come on, Lamar.
You like that? Hey, we're going to let JQ talk about there was only one game we're going to predict this weekend, actually. I mean, well, maybe two. But initially, what's happening, bro, with Jim Harbaugh at Ohio State, man? I know you don't care, JQ. This can just keep rolling, man. He has not won at all. And I don't know if it's going to happen. And he has a look at his face, man, on the sidelines. Man, yeah, what's happening? Is he the play for the gap between Ohio State? Because you're thinking, what the hell? And they even have a freshman quarterback who's still doing it. Go ahead, Jackie.
Well, he is, because I think it starts from the top, especially in college football. When you have a strong head coach like a Nick Saban, like a Urban Meyer, like a Dabo Swinney, I'm not going to put Ryan Day in there yet because it's just his first year. But when you have a guy like that, they set the tone for the program. And the difference between Ohio State and Michigan right now is that Ohio State obsesses about Michigan. I don't know if you heard Urban Meyer talk about it. I know you probably didn't. But, you know, they track all the recruits that Michigan is after every day. He has one coach. Him and Ryan Day have had one coach who does nothing but watch Michigan game film every week, and they check in with the head coach to make sure that he knows what's happening so they prepare for it every single week, and even in the offseason, what they're doing in the spring and summer ball practice. Like, Ohio State is obsessed with Michigan. But I mean, it's obsessive, and I understand that. But the proof is in the pudding, right? They're obsessed with them, and they're winning because they're obsessed with them. And that's what Michigan is not doing. They're just treating it like another game. Like, they know it's a big game, but they don't spend the time on it that I think Ohio State is spending on it. And Michigan, if you look at it, most of their draft picks are on the defensive side of the ball. Jim Harbaugh, you know, quarterback guru supposedly, is not getting, you know, that development from the quarterback position and on the offensive side of the ball. They have good skill position players, but they're not developing at the rate you think that they should. So he got asked that question and got real testy with him at the press conference about it. But I think that he is to blame for it. I enjoy it. I love it. I dig it. It makes me laugh. It makes me smile on the inside and on the outside. I hope he stays in Michigan forever. But if you're being objective about it, you know, it's just true. If you're being objective about it, he is to blame for it. He's the head coach. He's the CEO of that program. And when you fall that far behind your arch rival, you have to take a good look in the mirror of why we're not catching up with them. And I just don't think they take it. And Charles Woodson talks about it. He says, you can watch this. And Charles Woodson gets on TV and says it as much as he loves Michigan. He's saying, you know, it's a way of life for them about this game, and it don't feel like it's a way of life for us right now. So until they turn that point, until they get the same way obsessed about Ohio State, the way that Ohio State is obsessed about Michigan in that game, then they're going to have the same problem.
Good call.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But, you know, I think also, I mean, you know, but that's definitely a really good point there too. But you have to blame – Jim Harbaugh has to take some of the blame for the situation. And that's just the way it is. When you have a corporation that's not doing as well and they're not successful and they're getting beat by their competitors on a regular basis, the leader has to take a lot of the blame for it. That's just the way this nature is. That's just the way this industry is. That's just the way business is. And so Jim Harbaugh definitely has to take some of the blame. And from a recruiting standpoint, they're just not getting the athletes Ohio State is, too. And he has to take some of that blame, too. And from the offensive side of the football, defensive side of the football, I mean, it's like 4 or 5 years in a row. It seems like they've given up 50, 60 points to Ohio State. They're just not getting it done. And the bottom line is they just don't have the athletes. The rest of the Big Ten doesn't have the athletes Ohio State has. Ohio State has athletes that can compete in the SEC. Michigan and the rest of the conference does not. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear the music. That is concluding our live portion of the show. We are getting ready to go to our OT portion. Make sure you click on the same link, and you'll get the rest of this show. If you click on the same link on tomorrow or anytime the rest of this week, we still got more football. We got NBA as well. You do not want to miss it. Next week, we're going to be on air Thursday night next week. Once again, Thursday night, not Wednesday night. Next week will be on Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You do not want to miss it. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Everything Rob just said, we appreciate y'all for listening to it. Download the link. You can watch the rest of the show tomorrow. Hopefully my Buckeyes finish the job against Wisconsin this week. We'll see. But I'm looking forward to it.
It will.
We'll find out. Yeah, I hope
so.
And
I want to give a big shout-out right here, a big shout-out on the live portion to Carmelo Anthony, NBA Player of the Week.
Yeah.
Good call.
That's pretty big.
Absolutely. Very big.
Good call, man. Yeah, good job. It's crazy. That was a kind of switching segments here because, again, just to talk about Carmelo, man, and just the shout-out to Portland for actually extending that, and then I think the Clippers made a good – you heard Kawhi and you heard Paul George talking about that, how, you know, the media was – first they were down and they're up. I mean, you know, so, again, they were kind of defending him and just to kind of see Carmelo doing his thing, man. So, again, what a great comeback. Melo's finally getting back to his old ways. And, again, I think he's changed a little bit, but it's great to see him actually doing well, man. So, good shout-out to him, like you said, guys. So, that is
– the rap that he's had has always been defensive, but what the guys are saying is – his communication on the defensive end, telling guys, you know, where, you know, who's coming, what to look for, whatever. Both CJ and Damian and, you know, and Whiteside all made comments on his communication has been excellent. Tonight he's got 20 points, played 29 minutes, he's got 20 points and 5 rebounds. So we can't ask for better than that. That's huge.
That's gravy. That's gravy. Good job. All right. We got about 15 minutes here. I definitely want to get to a couple things here because we went again for the East Coasters. I know it's had a long day for JQ as well, too. Let's get through these predictions, if you will, too. And I know, Rob, you probably did your top 5 teams, and, you know, we'll let you kind of pick your topics for later on, too. But I do want to talk about a couple games that are happening, you know, LSU at, you know, Georgia at number 2 LSU. This is going to be big, man. So, Rob, I'm going to let you kind of have this one as well, man. And, I mean, again, if I can segue, I really hope that LSU puts a whooping on Georgia again. So that's just kind of like, you know, little segue, too, because, again, you know, hell with Georgia. But, yeah, that's me. What say you, man, about this, Rob?
Well, I obviously like LSU in this matchup. I mean, definitely Georgia is going to be one of the better defensive teams that LSU has faced all season, probably outside of Auburn. So this is definitely going to be pretty good defense that they're going to be going up against to match the LSU's receivers that they have. And we'll see if they can match up with the passing game. But LSU is not just a one-dimensional football team. They can run the football. And they can throw it as well. So we'll see how they match up against the Georgia defense. But I think the difference is going to be, I don't think, even though LSU's defense is not that great, they probably played their best game this past weekend against Texas A&M, beating them 50-7 from a defensive standpoint. So hopefully a lot of that carries over to this Georgia game. But I think ultimately when it comes down to it, I don't think Georgia will be able to score enough points to beat LSU. And as good as Georgia's defense is, I think LSU will put 30 on the board, and I think they'll win this game 30-17 over Georgia.
Yeah, Jake Fromm just misses too many passes, and I saw on Twitter a couple of my friends that are on there that have no reason to say this. They say, can we just say that Jake Fromm is Andy Dalton? And I said, oh, my God, y'all going to put that on him already? But, damn, he might be Andy Dalton. And that's where they're going to lose the game. They cannot score enough. They can't score enough points.
Second round pick.
Right.
I agree. I'm just saying. I agree with you.
They can't score enough points. And you can't, you know, the fool that got into the fight against Georgia Tech, he's out for the first half. Cager is already out for that game because he's hurt. So you've taken Georgia's top 2 wide receivers out of the game, at least for the first half or one of them. By the time that buddy gets back in the game, it might be 31-7 LSU. I just don't know if Jake Fromm can do enough. If you know that I can put my team one-on-one and say, we know, we'll make Jake Fromm be the hero. We don't think he can be, as long as we stop DeAndre Swift. And DeAndre Swift is also hurt, which goes underrated. I mean, Georgia is limping into this game. They never really play well in Mercedes-Benz. If you go ahead and look at their history, they don't win there. So to take them over LSU right now, I can't see it happening. I'm taking LSU.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to score enough points, 100%, man. So that's kind of the prediction for that too, man. So, yeah. Hey, Curtis Gary, I know you can comment on that too, but what's going to happen in Utah at Oregon?
Ooh.
Go ahead, Curtis.
It ain't gonna matter.
You tell wins, and I just don't know if the committee is gonna take an Oklahoma over Utah. Especially if Oklahoma gives up another 38 points or 40 points in another Big 12 basketball football game. Utah's got a real defense. You're going to see about 6 to 9 of those kids on that Utah team on Sundays on NFL teams.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon might have 3. And Utah is feeling it. But Mario Cristobal, Phil Knight, and the Ducks, they have something to prove. And this is going to be one of them show me games. What we're all saying up here in the Pacific Northwest, no hell or high water, Oregon's going to have to do something they haven't been able to do all year. They're going to have to run. Even if they're only getting 3 yards, 2 yards, keep it going. Because if Oregon gets one-dimensional and they want to play, throw the ball up, they will get blown out of that football game. So this is going to come down to great coaching, and Oregon's got to prove it. Utah should win this game, though. And by winning this game, like I said, the thing that I'm looking at in Oklahoma, they give up 35 points on the defense. It's an over deal. That's over. And nobody wants that kind of mess in the Final Four, teams that can't play defense.
They will always put Oklahoma in over Utah. I need to see the committee come. If Oklahoma wins Baylor, and I think they will, because if you remember that Oklahoma-Baylor game, and I've been talking about Oklahoma and not forgetting about them for the past 3 weeks, Oklahoma made some really dumb mistakes early in that game to get down against Baylor and then came back to win. I don't think they do that again. I think they beat Baylor, and they look at it and say, who is going to sell more tickets? Who does the nation want to see more, Oklahoma or Utah? And it may not be right, and it probably isn't, because I agree with you. Utah has actually got a pretty good defense. And if it's LSU or Ohio State number one, they would much rather play Oklahoma's defense than play Utah's defense, no question about it. But in terms of who's going to turn the TV on to watch that game, who's going to buy tickets to it, it's going to be Oklahoma. So if all things are equal and they're both conference champions with one loss, Jalen Hurts, who was a Heisman candidate early in the season, I just can't see the committee putting Utah in over Oklahoma. And that's part of the reason why I've been on Oklahoma for the past 3 weeks. If they handle their business like they've been doing, I just think Oklahoma's going to make it over Oregon. That's also like I just don't know if it really necessarily matters. I think Utah, if they win, they go to a really good bowl game, and they're going to get somebody a whole lot of problems with that defense. But to say they're going to put them in over Oklahoma, I got my doubts.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, I think the thing about it here, if Utah wins this game and if Oklahoma wins, you got to look at it. Oklahoma's beating a higher-ranked opponent, too. I think that's another element you got to look at it from the committee. So I think in order for Utah to have any shot of getting into the playoffs, obviously Georgia's got to lose first and foremost. And and they have to dominate Oregon in this game. And Oklahoma or Baylor will have to win a close one. I think that's the only way Utah will have a shot. I mean, they will have to dominate, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think Oregon really has a very strong chance of beating Utah. I really do.
I do too.
And when you know, Oregon's got the better quarterback. A lot of times that's going to help you out a lot too. And so I think Oregon's got a real strong chance. Matter of fact, I'm predicting Oregon to beat Utah. So I think they got a real strong chance of winning, but if Utah's going to have any shot of going to the playoff, they have to dominate Oregon, and whoever wins out of Baylor and Oklahoma's got to be a nail biter, and I think that's the only way Utah gets in. Otherwise, I think the winner of this Oklahoma Baylor game, with Georgia losing, will be that 14 in the playoff.
I don't think it matters. I think if Oklahoma wins, regardless of how they win, I think they're in. I really do. I think the committee just wants Oklahoma to win that game. That's just me. Given if Georgia loses, and I think that's what everybody's saying, that if Georgia loses, then it's between those two. But as long as Oklahoma wins, I think they're in. Because Baylor has the same problem that Utah has. Nobody's turning in and buying tickets and selling out, going across the country to see Baylor or Utah play. And they know that. So I think if Oklahoma wins, I think Oklahoma is in, if given that Georgia loses. That's just me. Mm. They can prove me wrong, and I will get on this call next week and say that I was wrong next Thursday. But nobody's going to be in the room, but I can see them saying, you know what, all things being equal, how are we going to make this money? Oklahoma's going to make us this money.
All right, guys, so you guys have been doing fantastic here. So I know we got about 5 minutes here, so I want you guys to kind of pick and choose any topic you want to talk about. There's a lot to go over, if you will. And I'll let you start off with that, Rob. Do your thing, and then JQ, and then West Coast, and Rob, wrap it up as always. So go ahead. You have the floor.
Well, you know, I'll just, you know, real quick. I know we covered a few of the games. I'll just kind of go over the rest of the college football games, meaning this championship weekend and all. You look at Ohio State and Wisconsin. Obviously, I just don't think Wisconsin has the athletes to compete with Ohio State. About the only area they probably can't compete with them is with their offensive line, but that's not going to be enough for sure. And Ohio State's going to beat these people by at least 3 touchdowns to win the Big Ten championship. And
come on,
then
man.
You move on. What's that?
They're not going to beat them by 3 touchdowns. Go ahead. I mean, I hope so, but I don't think so. Justin Fields is hurt. And my only thing about that is Justin Fields not being able to be the full Justin Fields, it limits what he can do on those third and fourth downs if it comes to it where he can make a play with his legs. He's going to wear a big offensive line brace. He's got a sprained MCL. And he's young, and I know he's flexible and young and can bounce back. But he's not going to be the Justin Fields this week that he's been able to be. Now, in 4 weeks when the playoffs roll around, knock on wood if they make it, if they win this game, yes, he can go back to being that Justin Fields, but I agree with you. A healthy Justin Fields, they destroy Wisconsin. But a slightly impaired Justin Fields, 7 to 10 points. But go ahead.
Wisconsin skill position players run a 6.440, man. They just don't have the skill position players to compete with Ohio State. They got corn-fed offensive linemen. They can be physical with you. But they don't have the skill position players where the guys running 6.440s out there. They're not going to be able to compete with Ohio State in the skill position. Don't matter. Half-healthy Justin Fields and all, Ohio State wins by 3 touchdowns.
I hope so, but I don't know.
I like Oregon over Utah. We mentioned that already. I like Oklahoma over Baylor. I think it's not, I actually think they're going to beat them a little more than did last game. I think Oklahoma wins this one by at least 10 points. I'm going to go 41-31 Oklahoma on this one. I like Memphis over Cincinnati in that matchup. And then the last one, we already picked Georgia and LSU. Virginia at Clemson. I like Clemson by 3 touchdowns in this matchup, too. I'm going to go 45. We'll go 45-17. We'll go 4 touchdowns, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Clemson's the only team not playing a ranked opponent.
No, Virginia's actually number 23.
Yeah, they're 23,
I think last week, yep.
Yeah, after beating Virginia Tech last weekend, they moved back in.
Mm-hmm. And that's to help Clemson.
Yep.
And that's to help Clemson's resume. And they're not fooling nobody with that. That's to help Clemson's resume, and we all know it. When Dabo gets on TV and starts crying about how Virginia will be 9-3 in all the other conferences, no, they would not. If you don't stop talking that crazy talk, Dabo, like they would not be 9-3 in the SEC or the Big Ten. They would not. Please stop selling that BS. You have a good team, and just talk about your team. We all feel like Clemson's a good team. They're just playing a sucking conference, but they're taking care of business. But don't get on TV and say that Virginia will be 9-3 in any other conference. That's just nonsense. No, they wouldn't. Okay? And Cincinnati loses to Memphis because I don't know why the AAC decides to play the conference championship game at somebody's home stadium. If you don't go to Birmingham or to Nashville or somewhere and play a neutral site location, that's just ridiculous. Even if Cincinnati was getting it at home, I would still say that's ridiculous. Like, you know, come on now. You don't play the conference championship game at somebody's home stadium. That's just dumb. But I agree with you. Because of that, I'm going to lean towards Memphis. Of course, Clemson wins. I agree with you on Oregon. I feel like they're going to try to upset the apple cart, and I think all the other teams around them are like, yay, come on, Oregon, especially Oklahoma. Oklahoma might be in all kind of gray and green and yellow rooting for Oregon in that game. So I agree with you on that one. My only concern for my part of it is, and I talked about it, is Justin Fields. And Ryan Day, again, he's a first-year head coach. You know your quarterback is limited. If I'm Wisconsin, I know J.K. Dobbins is ridiculous, but I got a slightly impaired Justin Fields. I'm going to load that box, and I'm going to make him feel like he can prove it without using his legs and throw it to those wide receivers. So if you remember that game in Columbus, in the first half, it was just 13-10 Ohio State with a healthy Justin Fields over Wisconsin, and they blew the game open late in the second half. When you know going into it as Wisconsin that, you know, Jim Leonard is a really good defensive coordinator, that he's impaired, you don't give him that ability, that spot that you normally have on, he went on in the run, you blitz that dude, and you make Justin Fields see if you can move around the pocket and escape the way he escaped last time. That's why I don't think it's as big a game. I think Ohio State has better athletes, but I need to see Ryan Day's scheme, and I need to see Justin Fields as a first-year starter be able to overcome his injury to be able to, you know, to win. All they got to do is win. They can win by a point, and it's straight. But I don't think they blow Wisconsin out. That's just my tidbit. I hope that I'm wrong, obviously, that they blow them out. But I think it's a much closer game than people give them credit for. But it may be moot there by the time you get to that. What time is the Oregon-Utah game?
That one's Friday night, I believe, 8 Eastern.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think that's a 5 o'clock. That's going to be a little late game for you guys. But I think that's a 5:30, I believe, 6 o'clock on the West, out here at West.
Well, I'll be bold. I think that Ohio State and LSU are in if they win or lose. I really do. And
I agree
then it comes
with
down
that.
To
I don't
Oregon
think that's
versus
case for Clemson.
Oklahoma.
I don't think it's a given for Clemson.
No, if Clemson loses, they're done because everybody's already talked about that schedule. And they're looking. Dabo's only cursing the fact that they don't want us in there be only because of their schedule. They have to win that game, but nobody thinks Virginia is going to beat Clemson. Nobody thinks that. That will be the upset of the year. But if Ohio State loses a close game to Wisconsin, LSU loses a close game to Georgia, I think they're both in. That puts Georgia in, and then it's the same scenario of is it the Pac-12 winner versus the Big 12 winner. But so that's just me personally. I mean, I think the resume that what LSU and Ohio State have showed over the course of the year, we've seen Alabama get in without even being in the conference championship game, right? So they set the precedent. They will put a team in.
Here. I need a second on the clock, by the way. Give me that extra second on the clock. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm just saying they set the precedent that they will put in a non-conference champion if that team passes the eye test and they feel like they've done enough over the course of the year. So I think both those two teams are in regardless. Clemson has to win to get in. And then I just personally think Oklahoma is in if they win that ball game because they just don't want to put Utah in. I just don't think they do.
Yeah, well, we'll wait and see how that all shakes out this coming weekend. Hey, Gary and Curtis, man, that's not fair. Y'all live on the West Coast, man, on Sundays. Y'all get to wake up to football at 10 a.m.
Right.
I know. It's awesome.
Well, my favorite thing is the morning show.
Every game will be done by
11,
8 o'clock.
Yeah. I wake up to the 6 and 8, which is CBS,
awesome.
NBC Network. No, not 6 and 8, 6 and 12. The Fox Networks with Bradshaw and Jimmy Johnson and Kurt Menefee. And then I like the CBS morning show with James Brown, and he's got those two quarterbacks, and he's got Bill Cowher. And then the NFL Network, I like those guys getting ready. Yeah, so, I wake up to that. I wake up to those morning shows. But speaking of that, waking up to Ohio State and Michigan out here in the West, that was the first game. That was the first game. And then the next day, the first game out here West was the San Francisco Baltimore game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I mean, your weekend mornings with those two football games,
awesome.
First game, are real enjoyable.
That's crazy. That's crazy. At 9 and 10 o'clock on back-to-back days to get those two games. That's nuts.
That's awesome. Gary, what you got, man? Let's wrap this up, man.
I got nothing. I'm just enjoying it, you know. I got nothing. Okay, I got one thing.
I'm sure you do.
You know, you guys have heard of Bigfoot, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Okay, well, you know what? I thought I saw, it wasn't Bigfoot, but it was kind of like Bigfoot. You know, it was elusive. You hear about them, but you never see them. I thought I saw a Clippers fan running down my street.
Oh my goodness!
I didn't get a good enough video of it, so you know I'm still working on it. You know, if you'll just be patient with me. You guys might have to come up here. We might have to go, you know, hunting for a couple of Clipper fans. I hear they're out here though.
Come on, Gary.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to wrap this up. I will say this as we wrap up. I will. I know I've been pretty hard on James Harden in the past. I'll give him a lot of love because for once, I mean, not only I could drop 60 on the Hawks, but just I got to give him props because he doesn't subscribe to load management. He plays pretty much every single game. He's in it. He gives his fans a show. So, yeah, I mean, obviously he's a great player, but I just want to give him a quick shout-out, too, because, again, I see what he's doing. If he plays some defense, I think he'll kind of elevate his game to the next level, too. He can be that next guy, too. But for now, again, just, you know, that's just me kind of nitpicking. But, again, just impressed with what James is doing. And again, in the age of NFL, in the age of the NBA, where everyone's taking nights off, he consistently plays every single night, too. So much props to him for doing that. So that's my little 2 cents on that as well. So, Rob, let's go ahead and wrap us up. If you have anything to add to that.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Once again, we're going to be on the air live next Thursday night. We're going to be on Thursday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in. Another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
Good night, gentlemen. You guys enjoy tomorrow, Thursday night. Enjoy that. That should be fun.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
All right, here we go.
Go, JK.
Good night.
Yep. So, wrap it up for America, JQ.
Oh, man, yeah. I echo Rob's sentiments. You know, we appreciate y'all listening to the show. I appreciate my folks out there, Gary and Curtis on the West Coast, for bringing all the insights they always bring to it and making me laugh. You know, a Clippers fan running down the street is hilarious. This is what you get when you listen to the Talk of Sports with the 12th Man. So stay tuned with us. Next week, we'll be back on Thursday. We will wrap up. We'll find out what's going on with our final rankings here in the college football playoffs. I know everybody's interested to talk about that, given, you know, it's been a big part of our show tonight. So, you guys have a good week. Everybody out there, you have a good week, and we holler at you on Thursday.
All right. Be safe, gentlemen.
Yeah, you guys are the same, man. Have a good one. Till the next time. Peace.
Yes, sir. Later, y'all.